Professor Peter Lynham.
And how are you today?
Oh, not bad. Can't complain. Cannot complain. I've been in a dark room
all
day.
You don't have a yacht that fell into the harbour or anything like that.
Well, what?
A yacht that collapsed in the harbour.
No, okay, I do not have a yacht that collapsed in the harbour. Better to have yachted than to not have yachted before.
It was very exciting, Peter. I must admit, I was enthralled.
Yes.
Did the boat turn into a banana? Or what's going
on? Just about. But very close.
Matt.
Well, exactly what happened, it's hard to say. You know, it's just water, I think. Water's a dangerous thing.
Mm. Water and money.
Well, yeah. Well, now, we really should have... I should have said to talk about Ratna next Monday, because the 25th of January, I think, is next Monday.
Mm.
And that is the birthday of Taha Potiki Wedemur Ratana. But it's kind of topical already, because that's the day that all the politicians normally mass at Ratana to try to woo Maori votes. And they've been told not to come. And that's a sort of a very intriguing development.
Can you give us a quick little rundown on the church's history and its significance in politics, Peter?
Yes. So, Tahu Potiki Wiremu Ratana, born in 1873. No real proof that he was born the 25th of January, but that's always been observed as his birthday. And one of his relations, his aunt, although I'm not sure that's used in the Maori sense of aunt, which is looser than the European sense, was an extraordinary woman called Mary Rikiriki, who lived in Bulls and founded a church called the Church of the Seven Spirits. And so there was a tradition in the family of a kind of prophetic tradition, which is not uncommon in the Maori world. But Ratna himself was a farmer and the last person you'd expect to go to found a religious movement. Quite vague about his own religious background, until in 1918 he experienced a couple of extraordinary visions as he looked out to the sea. Now, Ratna's just south of Whanganui, and you do get quite an extraordinary glimpse out into the Tasman from there. And so that first vision, followed up by another extraordinary vision when he used the power of prayer to extract a long thorn from inside of his son's finger, led many Maori to believe that he had an extraordinary experience of the Holy Spirit. They were observing it in Christian terms, and remember, 1918 was at the high point of the flu epidemic. And so Maori began coming by train from Whanganui or from other parts of the North Island, stopping off at the little station and coming to meet the Maori medical miracle man, as he was called by in pamphlets at the time. And enormous numbers came from all churches and from all backgrounds, and a lot of Europeans as well, until he banned Europeans.
Wow.
And slowly a movement developed, initially sponsored by all the churches, and then some of the churches, probably Anglican, tried to take it over. And there was a furious breakdown in relationships. And they set up their own movement in 1925. And the second big day in the Ratna calendar is the date in July, which is commemorated as the birthday of the church. Now, the other interesting aspect of this was that he went off to England early in his career as a prophet in the 1923, I think it was, to complain to the king about the not keeping the Treaty of Waitangi. Of course, the king wasn't that interested in talking to him. He came home via Japan and married the Maori people to the Japanese people.
Wow.
Which is a delicate issue, given what happened later on with the war, was hastily erased from the memory. But the movement developed real pace and began, you know, that political edge to it increased, and it began putting up candidates for the Māori seats. And by 1943, which was after Ratana's own death, they had won all the seats. And so from, and they allied in 1935 in a historic meeting with the Labour Party. And that's why on the 25th of January, the Labour Party politicians in particular, but everybody else as well, makes their pilgrimage to Ratana to pay homage to somebody who potentially, to a movement that can deliver political support to it.
Is it still the force that it once was?
Not at all. There's been an enormous decline in the impact of Ratana. Now, it's interesting because the actual numbers keep going up. In the census, the people who describe themselves as Ratana constantly increase. But there's no evidence that that's backed up by genuine involvement. You know, in the high point of the movement, it had its own brass bands, huge youth movements. It rarely had its own buildings that would meet on Marae in most places, except for the extraordinary temple building in Ratanapā, which is a most fabulous building. It looks like it's been dropped from the sky, perhaps from somewhere in the West Indies. Extraordinarily un-Māori building. Mm. The actual involvement, it looks like the followers are aging, and it's probably those sorts of things that have led to the schmozzle that's clearly happened in Ratana over the last 6 months.
What has happened?
Well, we're not privy to the details, but it would seem that the Marae Committee are in disagreement about the direction and the way in which the movement should be run. So the Marae Committee is not the church committee, but this is the most unusual Marae in New Zealand, because it's not a Marae for one particular tribal group. It has the pictures of all of the seven canoes and, as well, Abel Jansoon Tasman's Helmskirk, and Captain Cook's Endeavour are shown as the ships that belong to this Marae. These are the canoes of the Marae. So it's an eclectic Marae, and yet there is a separate church committee, and I think they're in enmity with each other. There's been a lot of tension about who leads the Ratana movement over recent years.
Mm, what a story. What a guy.
It is
that Japan bit
story.
Is interesting. How do you marry a people? I don't understand that.
No, it's a symbolic kinship relationship.
Right.
He felt very close to Japanese people, partly because he was interested in the role of Christianity in Japan. Mm. There was a Japanese bishop who expressed a lot of sympathy with him, felt that the Japanese Christians had been treated badly by the English Christians, as it happened in New Zealand.
Right. Interesting. Far out.
Now,
so, an odd story, yeah.
No politicians being invited this year to the birthday celebrations. Is that just simply because of the turmoil within the church itself?
I think so, because when it was done, the church spokesman made a laboured statement, which you can listen to. Labour is perhaps a part in this case, expressing, you know, deep affection for Jacinda Ardern and for the wonderful work that the Labour Party had done. See, in recent years, there's been quite a split within Ratana between those that have been pro the Māori Party and pro the Labour Party. Currently, the Labour Party candidate is the one who represents that part of Western Māori. But it is messy, and I think it's not over political issues, because they would love to have that influence, but that just that the two factions in the church would not show hospitality. It would be a bit like the time when politicians were treated roughly at Waitangi.
Mm, right. Peter Lynham, killing it once again. Thanks so much for that. It was something that I kind of didn't know anything about, to be honest.
Well, I feel like and you ought to visit Ratna. It's the most intriguing place.
Right, yeah. Sounds it.
Yeah. Fabulous place. Just a little detour on the way travelling south from Whanganui.
Okay, cool. We'll do.
Very good.
Thanks so much, mate. You take it easy.
Okay, see you. Bye-bye.